In our breakout and best-selling book, Looking for Angels, A Guide to Understanding and Connecting with Angels, Dr. Scott Guerin and I share how you can communicate with angels, understand signs from the universe and these celestial beings, feel at peace knowing you are always connected to Source, and much more. Get your copy today at lookingforangelsbook.com, Amazon, Barnes & Noble, or your local bookstore. And now you can even get the audio version narrated by me and Scott through Amazon, Audible, and iTunes. You are listening to A Psychic Story, a podcast that shares behind-the-scenes insights of people who lead supernatural lives among the ordinary. And I'm your host, Nicole Bigley. Join me every other Wednesday as I dispel the myths behind magic and lore. Welcome to A Psychic Story. Before we get into this next episode of A Psychic Story, I wanted to hop on here and say thank you so, so much to our new patrons on Patreon. Those people are Sebi Fiscaro, Jamie Knighton, Ann Weller, and many more. And just want to say thank you. Your support of the show means a ton to me. This is self-funded. So by you supporting me in that way, I am able to provide even more free content for everyone else. If you're interested, you can go to patreon.com/a psychic story. Now on with the show. Hi, everyone. We are here for a brand new episode of A Psychic Story, and I'm very, very excited. I have Thomas Worm here on this episode, and we have been playing scheduling tag, I guess, for a while. So the fact that the stars are aligned and he has joined us, I'm really thrilled. And just to give him a quick intro, he is an author. He is a master hypnotherapist. He also has his own podcast. So we are going to be talking about igniting your inner gifts and really, you know, just excited to dig into this topic because I think we all as individuals have so many different unique gifts that we can share with the world. So welcome to the show, Thomas.
Oh, thank you so much for having me here. I feel so blessed to be here with you, and it's going to be an amazing show.
Yes. So I love to start out in the very beginning of each episode for the guests to share their gifts and their story, like so how they got started. And you are a firefighter too, which is also very timely just with what's going on in the world. And, you know, I'd love for you to just share what got you here today.
Gosh, I think to kind of start from the beginning, as a teenager, I was a really troubled teen. So I went through a lot with my parents had a really crazy divorce, and I turned to drugs and alcohol and kind of the wrong crowd as a teenager. To keep a really long story short, I just went way too deep into that rabbit hole and had a near-death experience when I was very young. I would say like 15 or 14, somewhere around there. And that turned my life around. That was kind of like the first major piece. And it wasn't anything super amazing experience wise. It was, I just went to the void. There was blackness. There was nothingness in that near death, my first near death experience. And I would say that just changed everything for me because, you know, I wasn't reading or doing anything in school really. I was really like dropping out kind of thing, but I changed everything around. I started going to like Buddhist temples and meditating and reading like 3 or 4 books a week and like doing Kung Fu. And I turned all my grades around. It was just like this big ordeal for me, right? And then after high school, I went straight into wildland firefighting. And, you know, I'm actually going on a fire assignment probably the next couple of days. So I'm going back out there. What's so amazing about the firefighting is that it really challenges you mentally, emotionally, physically, to the point where you pretty much go past your boundaries you ever thought possible. And you go 10 times farther than that, physically, especially. And then getting to see like Mother Nature in like the rawest form, like you get to see the fire element at its like most maximum potential. It's wild. Like it really does change you. And for me, let's see, about 2015, one of my great friends, supervisor, he passed away suddenly. And this was a major turning point in my life. Severe grief set in, really bad anxiety, like hypochondriac kind of anxiety. So I turned again to, I kind of dropped away from meditation. I came back to the meditation in 2015 and journaling and yoga. And my health was really terrible at this point. I had a lot of leaky gut stuff going on, like toxic, a lot of just stress from firefighting, a lot of PTSD on top of this. Right. And I think people that have gone through grief, they'll maybe resonate with all of your problems, like land in your face right now because of the grief. It kind of all piles up right now. And that's what was happening to me. So I turned to acupuncture, journaling, meditation, those kinds of things. And I had an out-of-body experience that was very psychedelic. I think I like to call it like a natural DMT experience through a meditation later that year. And that's when all my gifts started to really show up. And in this vision, you know, we can talk more about the vision that I had. But when I came back into my body, there was all of a sudden I could see sacred geometry. I could see energy. I could hear things going on. Like, I didn't really understand what was happening to me. It was really scary. Like, I thought, like, I'm crazy. I'm a crazy person, right? That's really what I felt like, which I think most people that are psychic or have gifts, that's the first initial feeling is like, what are these voices happening? And because, you know, now I can go talk to trees or go talk to other dimensions. You know what I mean? It's very interesting how these gifts show up for me. And that kind of propelled my healing process. And I knew I wanted to help others. That was a big thing that came out of that vision. Like, I wanted to help others. And my acupuncturist turned me on to hypnosis and specifically mental emotional release work and NLP and kind of that world. That's what really turned my anxiety around. My health came back. Anxiety is 100% gone. And just, so I started my own practice with other wildland firefighters. And, you know, it's just the results I've seen with the mental emotional release is so powerful and so amazing, because it's when we work with the unconscious mind, we're also working with the energy inside the body. So there's a lot of Reiki type things going on as well. You know, spirit guides are coming in. We're really working at the soul level and the mental emotional level. And it's just, I love using my gifts every day. And it's, I think to kind of piggyback on this a little bit, there is this, I would say in the last year, there is resistance to really using my gifts. Like, because I knew I could see my client's energy, but I was really scared to like tap into that. I was really scared to like, are you sure that's real? Like, I didn't really, I don't know. I was really scared of that for a while until I practiced with another practitioner, and she just let me like, yeah, go inside my body, like show me where the blockages are. And she coached me through that and really validated that what I'm seeing with the energy, what my intuition is saying is 100% correct. And now when I've used that with clients, it's been magical. That's the best way I can describe it. So it's been an amazing ride, right?
Oh, well, you've done a ton of work, not only on yourself, but the, you know, where you are as a practitioner. So did you actually go through the Reiki process, or did the Reiki energy start to kind of come through because of all of the other things that you were doing with the therapy and all of that?
Yeah. So I started doing a lot of breakthrough sessions. What I'm going to call it is like this hypnosis, mental emotional release, kind of this big long process. It's a full day of healing for somebody. And I started to notice that there is, my clients had to do a lot of follow-up work spiritually to kind of clear some other stuff up. And I noticed that, you know, my guides were showing up and helping them. And I could see, oh, I could just clear that. Like, I could just pull that energy out so easily. So I started doing that intuitively, but I really wanted to get some more training. And so I'm coming from more of a Huna, like Hawaiian Reiki tradition, is where my energy healing experience is from. So that's my lens, is more of the Hawaiian stuff. So a lot of Ho'oponopono, a lot of elemental work. The tradition is really profound. It's probably a little different from Reiki, but not really. It's the same, right? We're working with divine energy.
Yeah, because Reiki, ultimately, if you hear about it or you've experienced it, if you're listening, it really is what others would call lay on of hands type of healing. So your intent is to get the energy activated, both not really within the healer sense, but that you're a channel and you're kind of coming through and pushing the energy through. I'm fascinated by the type of Reiki or energy healing that you're talking about, because I haven't heard it. Like, I think that we have like the two normal, like the Sui and the Western world, but then it's cool to hear that in different areas of the world, different people have applied these techniques. And so it sounds like what you are doing too, or at least where you're led, is not as much as the short term, I'm going to get a Reiki session and cleared, and then the person leaves and goes on and does their own thing and maybe comes back for a tweak or another session. You're like looking at a longer process to really move that energy. Is that accurate to say?
Yeah, absolutely. And the mental emotional release, you know, we can jam on that a little bit, but the best way to describe it is going back through your timeline to like the very first time you felt anger or sadness. Mm-hmm. And so sometimes for clients that shows up as a past life or genealogical, so maybe it's a parent's anger, or even during birth is a very common one. There's a lot of trauma during birth that's left over. And so, yeah, when we do a breakthrough session, it is very profound and it goes generally we do a session and we do like 5 to 6, maybe 12 follow-ups, kind of like a coaching program, right? It just depends what the client needs. But generally, it's kind of one and done. Like the breakthrough session is the MER and along with the energy stuff is so profound. It really gets to the root cause of things. And I think the biggest piece of this is so interesting is the mind-body connection and how, you know, maybe a client's been going to the chiropractor for 10 years and we do a simple parts integration or we do like a hypnosis or we do some mental emotional release and their pain's gone. I didn't touch them. All we did was clear out trauma and the pain in the body's gone. And so, you know, my colleagues that are actually medical doctors, there's a lot of stuff going on with like actual illnesses and things like that. And the mental emotional release, you know, I'm not a doctor by any means, so I don't work with that, but it is that powerful, right?
Yeah, well, because our bodies are just energy. It's just a more condensed form. And our spirit and our soul is all around us, not just in us. And so I would imagine that the trauma, I've had clients, myself included, where I've worked on people and again, myself, and it moves around sometimes. It's a tricky thing because if you haven't, to your point, released that underlying issue and what that is, that you're that emotion or that experience, it, and a lot of times you may not even be aware of what that is. Like you said, birth, right? That is probably super powerful in terms of moving not just the energy, but moving that path forward and opening up that channel. I want to go back a moment though to your vision. So you said we can get back to it. So what was that like?
Yeah. So I'm not going to mention the book because like this meditation, I really got messed up. Like, I'm not going to lie. It was really hardcore, but it was an ancient Chinese technique of moving energy. And it's kind of like, you know, I did a lot of Tai Chi in high school. So I was familiar with moving energy a little bit, but this is the first time I could like feel energy. Like this was real. Like I could feel the heat. I could feel it moving. It was so amazing. And basically I was in a very deep meditation, like a couple hours of moving this energy. And I just said out loud, universe, will you open my third eye? And that exactly is exactly what happened. I got launched completely out of my body. I was kind of instantly above the earth. And I had that astronaut kind of feel, like I knew what they were talking about. All of a sudden, it's like, oh my God, when you see earth from one biosphere, it is so different. It's so powerful. And this experience really blew me away. And to go further, there was like this pole. Like I was really interested and curious with the sun. I was like, you know, I'm just going to float over. Let's just go for it. And so I went into the sun basically and went into the center of the sun, which was like this like wormhole is the best way I can describe it. It's kind of like this portal into like the next solar system, into the next star. And so I just kept kind of floating into the next system, into the next solar system, all the way until the center of our galaxy. And I was like, well, I might as well go in the black hole now, I guess. So I went into the center of our galaxy, which went to another galaxy. It was kind of this fractal, right? I just kept going into these like light trails until there was like clusters of galaxies in the center of that. So you can see how it just keeps expanding and expanding to where soon I was kind of at the center of the universe, but also looking at the entire universe at once. Mm. And I could just see this light sparking from one cluster of galaxies to the next and kind of sparking across the screen. And I had this realization then that was like, this is pure consciousness. Like that's what the universe is. It is all it is pure consciousness. And it was so much more of a knowing and feeling, you know, like of course words don't really describe what the feeling was, but it was so powerful. And at that point, when I knew what the universe was at its core, I was shot right back in my body. And, you know, I think it was definitely a natural DMT experience because it was like, you know, I've done psychedelics before in my life, but this was so much different. This was very, very real, more real than anything I've ever experienced, I would say. So it was so profound for me, right?
That is just absolutely amazing. And I know a little bit about what you're talking about. I had an experience before I was born and I had that knowing, that sense, but not nearly to what extent you experienced. You weren't afraid at all. Like, I guess when you're going through this, you were just more aware of everything.
I would say like right before it happened, it felt like, and if I've also talked to some other like friends and people that have done a bit of ayahuasca or DMT, and it's like, there's this feeling, this buzz that comes over your body where it almost feels like you're getting microwaved. Like the molecules are getting so hyperactive that it feels like your body's going to rip apart. That's really what it felt like right before I was launched out of my body. And that was really scary. Like I was like, I'm dying. I really thought I was dying for sure. 100%. I'm still not sure maybe I stopped breathing. Like that's totally possible. I went so deep into meditation. That part was really scary. And after I was released from the body, it was just so natural feeling, like, oh, I'm home now.
Yeah. I've heard of people that they've come back from those experiences and they're kind of like, I wouldn't say depressed, but a little bit sad, because they're like, you get access to where we came from, what we're part of. And then you're grounded back onto earth and there's a little bit more of a reality that sets in, but that wasn't the case for you. It was like, you had this inner knowing now that the perception had changed.
I would say I went through a year of really hardcore anxiety specifically about the event, because like the first couple of days I was literally seeing sacred geometry, kind of like the Matrix. Yeah. It was just kind of like in like columns. And I was really, really freaked out about that. I was like, I think I'm like psychotic at this point. Like, I don't really know what's happening.
That's what you said earlier. Yeah.
Yeah. And so the other thing too, is that I think there was so much energy, like so much consciousness came back, that my entire nervous system got fried like pretty hard. And it took a lot of acupuncture and a lot of healing to get my body back. And I would say like the best way to describe it is I had a Kundalini experience with zero guide, zero preparation. It was just like shot out of my body. It wasn't comfortable. I don't recommend it for people unless you have a guide, a coach, a Kundalini master, because the recovery was not fun. I'll tell you that. But I think it was worth it, right? I asked for it.
Well, yeah. I mean, and the other thing is you were led to ask for it. So you obviously got the experience that you needed to be doing the work that you're doing here today, which is awesome. That tells me, so how was your family and friends around this? Like, did you have a good support system at that time? And or obviously now you do, but tell us a little bit about what that journey was like for you.
You know, I think my first near-death experience as a teenager, like I never told anybody that until the last couple of years, right? And even the last couple of years of my fire career, like there's, you know, you talk to firefighters and like this kind of stuff, they're just going to like, it's a man's world, right? It's very masculine. It's very machismo. It's similar to the military in that way. So there's no room for energy consciousness. It's like, you're a crazy person. Mm-hmm. Get the F off the line. Mm-hmm. Like that's kind of their attitude, right? So no, I didn't talk to anybody. I didn't have any support system. It was all secret. And luckily I have an amazing wife now that really supports me in this. And you know, I can talk to her about energy or consciousness or my struggles or what's going on. And it's like, it's very supportive. And of course, all my colleagues, all the people I work with, there's all those folks. And, you know, we trade sessions all the time, right?
Yeah, the reason I ask is one of the reasons why I wanted to start the podcast, and I've been doing it for 2 years, is because I felt like I had a really good support system growing up, and you know, even so now, but there are still times where it's lonely because you're experiencing things that, you know, it might not be real time for others. And I also just got the knowing or the message that others out there don't necessarily have that strong support system. So it's refreshing to hear that maybe you didn't have it in the beginning, but you certainly found your community and you found that support system that you have now, which is great.
Yeah. Yeah. I would say my acupuncturist was a big mentor for me. If you kind of go the hero's journey, he really, really helped validate some things. You know, he did a little bit of shamanic work with me and taught me that like, this is real, like it's okay. And actually my first major healing was like a hypnosis kind of, I don't know what he did to me. It was very shamanic. And when I got out of the kind of trance, it was like, did you just hypnotize me? He's like, no. Like, and the biggest thing I can say is I changed timelines, which was really, that was really amazing. I work with timelines and I don't know. I've never had clients jump timelines like I did. It was really interesting. So
the way I see it is that with what you experienced with your journey is that probably led you to your hypnotherapy, where you refined your practice, your expertise, and your tool set.
Yeah. So I think jumping timelines was so, so interesting because it almost looked like the neck of a guitar, like kind of a Guitar Hero, where there's just these lines that are progressing forward. And I actually got to kind of touch each one and see the future. And I was like, oh, I don't like that one. I don't like that one. Oh, this one. I want this one. And I picked that timeline. And what's so interesting, I think, is that this experience really helps me work with the timeline now and my clients. And it really set me up to be curious about the timeline and really point me toward that next direction, right?
I've heard the theory that there are multiverses, e.g. multiple universes and multiple dimensions, and at the same time that time is this illusion, meaning that the past, present, and future are all happening at the same time. And the only reason we think it's linear is because of our present physical experiences. Is that the case? And what do the timelines have to do based on our choices and free will?
Yeah, you know, I think that potentially there's multiple timelines happening all the time. Like we have multiple selves. And I think the best way I've heard one of my mentors express it is that there's the highest self, right? That's what we call it in Huna anyway. It's like kind of this highest version of yourself, your soul, your God self. And there's so much energy in that highest self that it can't possibly come into one human being or one consciousness kind of type being. And so it kind of has multiple parallel experiences happening at once to really experience itself. And so that's kind of the way I look at it, is that there's potentially so many timelines happening and we're just conscious of this one. And, you know, I don't know if that resonates with people, but that resonates with me. So,
well, I had the thought, it's really timely that you mentioned this, is that I had the thought the other day of, if you look back at Albert Einstein and a lot of other people that are smarter than me and what they've said over the course of their careers and their lifetimes, is that we essentially, there's no time and time doesn't exist. It's very linear. And so I started thinking about that and I was like, well, in reality, I am still alive 5-10 years from now, like in the future and then in the past. So I started setting intentions and sending myself love and guidance and encouragement for the different phases or the different timelines that I was experiencing. And I felt like a little bit of a shift, but I've really started to feel that a lot more lately. And I don't know, again, interesting that you raised that, because it's only recently come into, you know, my kind of consciousness in the last several days, probably because we were having this interview scheduled, but it's reassuring that you mentioned that.
Yeah. You know, what is so interesting, when I was in my first Huna training, you know, the first day was really like like probably 8 hours of meditation, and the teacher was guiding us through all these kind of ancestral healing techniques. And we went back to the very first time we were healers, you know, in our timelines. And we weren't just working with this lifetime. We were working with like thousands and thousands of years. It was really interesting. And what eventually we went into the future, I guess the biggest thing I want to explain here, this really blew my mind and I'm still kind of wrapping my mind around it, is that when I was from maybe 18 to like 27, I had so many close calls in wildland firefighting and snowboarding and skateboarding. I broke my neck surfing, like all these things I should have died like so many times. And I always felt like there's like this guardian spirit. There's all these guardian angels around me because I'm still alive. I should have died like so many times. And in this class, I literally watched my consciousness go back to every single one of those events and kind of just change something. So I actually lived through it. It was actually myself guarding myself from the future. It was really an intense experience, but it was so powerful. It really made me question that time is really does not exist at all.
Yeah. No, that just gave me chills, because I think through, like, there was one instance, I'm not going to go into a lot of detail here, but essentially something happened. I asked a teacher, what did this mean? And she said, that actually was you. I always thought it was angels, God, you know, the universe protecting me. And what you're saying is, it could be you, me, angels, God, the universe. Ultimately, it is that collective consciousness, because we're all tapped into it, right? So however we really want to define it, but... Oh, amazing. Okay. So talk to us about hypnotherapy. So what does that look like for you as a practice now? And then your clients, how do you apply all that you've learned and experienced into what you know, when people come to see you, what does that look like?
Yeah. So what it looks like, it's 8 hours of work. We do 8 hours. So it's kind of 2 days. So it's 4 hours one day, you know, take a break, 4 hours the next day. And really what we do is we have the first 3 hours is we talk kind of like traditional therapy kind of feel, but it's really all about finding, we want to find the root cause through the language. And this is where kind of the NLP comes in, is we're really, you know, as a practitioner, I'm what do you call it? Like kind of deciphering their language, their unconscious mind, and how they're speaking to, like, what is the actual root cause of this? And it usually comes down to a single belief that's kind of holding up this whole reality. And it's something like, I'm not good enough, I'm unlovable, you know, something. Those are the really common ones, right? There's a couple common threads there. And once we find that, we go into the timeline therapy, where we actually take their consciousness or their mind from right now all the way back to the first time they believed that, or the first time they felt anger or sadness, fear, hurt, or guilt. And we go back to the very first time, and we change the time perspective by taking their mind from now back to that first event. And what's so interesting is that time change really does, it reframes the emotion, and the emotions disappear, and they have a learning. That's the biggest thing. They get a lesson, and that lesson facilitates a healing. And that's where the highest self comes in, heals the body, heals the mind, body, spirit. But it all comes from that lesson that they're learning. And then we go, you know, after that, we take a little bit of break, or maybe it's the next day, and we'll use hypnosis to install new beliefs. And before we do that, we'll really write it out. Like, what do you want me to install with you? Like, how can we do this? And, you know, I take them deep into a trance, you know, classic hypnosis type stuff. I like to call it like a guided meditation, really. And personally, I go into the trance as well, you know, especially if we're going to clear something even deeper, or there's maybe something a little bit left over. Maybe there's a couple parts that are conflicting. We can talk more about that, but I'll go into trance as well and see what's happening and help them and do some energy healing at that point. And then really we focus on goals and action, because it really comes down to like holistic wellness. What are you eating and drinking, breathing? Like, we're going to go like full on holistic wellness. You know, I am a nutritionist, so we really put food first. Food is medicine, and the expressive writing, meditation routines, all that stuff that really makes us feel healthy, safe, and happy, you know, those actions. And most often I work with people, they're firefighters, or they're writing a book or something like that. They have a major goal they're working on.
And do you do this? I'm assuming a lot of it was done in person, and now with the pandemic, has that changed how you're doing it, or is it like, what's that look like?
Yeah, it's mostly remote. I've done some clients in person, but it's mostly remote. And it's just amazing how much, you know, I have so many, you know, when I go through the like kind of introductory call to folks, like, but isn't it better in person? It's like, it really doesn't matter. Of course, you're going to feel that human connection, and like, we all want that. But the remote, it works great.
Yeah. And I imagine too that especially, I mean, it's 8 hours. So the ability for the person to be able to kind of, I don't know, regroup and maybe do it in their own space too is a natural way, a little bit more of healing, I guess, so that they can kind of ground themselves too. But that's cool that you do that. So what are some things that have kind of surprised you during, like, I don't want to say surprise, but like during your practice that either stand out, or things that you would say that are repetitive that people should keep in mind if they wanted to go down this path, like either get a session with you or kind of explore the hypnotherapy a little bit more?
I think the biggest thing that my mind comes back to every time is the mind-body connection. And like, for instance, you know, like I mentioned earlier, I broke my neck surfing like a long time ago, and I had chronic pain. And that was part of wildland firefighting and some PTSD stuff. I was dealing with chronic pain for a long time, and specifically in my neck. And I did some mental emotional release on it, and it's been a year of pain free. Like, I just go to the chiropractor like twice a month or whatever. And now it's like, I don't go to the chiropractor maybe once a year. Literally, it's mental, emotional, trapped energy. These beliefs, these thoughts, these emotions, they have the potential to create energy. And then it gets trapped if it's kind of this stuckness, right? So that is so interesting, because I don't, you know, I'm not going to diagnose, I don't treat anything. But a lot of times my clients will have, you know, they have anxiousness, or they have anxiety or something where they're really worried all the time, and like their stomach is all churning, or they have pain in their lower back or their knee or something. We don't even really talk about that, but just releasing the emotions, that pain is gone and it doesn't come back. It is so interesting. And, you know, I think Dr. John Sarno's work with divided mind and the healing the back pain, you know, where he comes up with, you know, as a doctor in all of his research, is that 95% of illness is psychological at the root cause. And that's kind of where I'm working from, is that this mental emotional work is going to clear that stuff. And of course, we got to take actions. We got to do herbs and maybe go work with the acupuncturist or whatever it is to go even deeper in the physical body.
And move,
of course. Yeah, exercise.
Movement is huge. Yeah, especially now. I keep going back, like early on during my practice into Reiki, I had a teacher and a mentor that would use a play on words. So disease, a lot of people have heard of that word, but it's actually dis-ease, because it's like where we're storing the energy, where we're storing the emotions and other things. So I implore you, if you're listening, to be thinking about that too. Like when you're thinking of words, whether you're saying them, what that means in the medical community, again, neither of us are doctors, as we said, but that does make a difference when you're looking at where the root cause of how a word even, you know, came into existence or how a disease or a medical situation even came into, you know, fruition. How do we, this is the big question, right? How do we find clarity on why we are here? Because that was one of the ones where I was like, you obviously had your experience, but for people that haven't had their individual visions or kind of gone down the journey the way you have, what would you suggest?
The biggest thing is I wrote a whole book on this. It's called Awakened by Heart Fire. And it's so interesting because there's a whole heart fire method in that book, but essentially it's release work. Like we're talking about, you know, working with the healer, doing some sort of release work. It could be just journaling and meditation. Like that's powerful as well, but doing some release work and releasing things that don't serve you anymore. And then connecting with your breath, connecting with your heart center. And I love the Heart Math Institute, like do their meditations, like focusing on what you love, what you're grateful for, and focusing on your heart center. That's really going to open your heart chakra. And then what I love to do is bring in like the highest self. So we're bringing in that highest soul into the body and connecting with that highest self. And then just asking out loud, like asking, you know, why am I here today? Like what can give me nourishment today? Not just physically. What is like wrong in my life? What's going, you know what I mean? You just start questioning and asking the highest self through the heart center, and you just listen. And you just listen to that heart. And some people, it takes some time. Some people you're going to, if you're naturally gifted, you know, if you have some natural ESP stuff going on, you're going to get that answer. The other thing too, I love doing is like tapping into trees, like hugging a tree and just talking to a tree for like an hour. Like, I know that sounds kind of weird, right? But they will talk to you back if you're open to it. And they'll answer your questions for you. And like the other day, a tree told me, all you have to do is stand there and smile. That's all you have to do in life. And of course, we have a lot more complicated life than that. But it was so like, oh, okay, I just need to stand here and be grateful. I really appreciated that. Like that was a really powerful moment. So there's what we're here for, like our purpose, and that's really important. But it's also finding clarity in what we need right now, because I think we're always healing. We're always moving through that. I love clarity in that sense, right? What we need now and also what we need in the future.
Well, I love you said that, because I think a lot of times when people ask me, well, I've been asking and I'm not getting any answers. Trust me, you're getting the answers. It's just that sometimes you're either A, trying too hard, or B, like you said, it's simple. And you're thinking to yourself, well, that clarity can't be that simple. It can't be just smile, just be happy again. But when we put it into practice, easier said than done, right? Do you think that because we are spiritual beings here living a human experience, that that's why the earth and trees and other elementals are, I don't want to say more grounding, but like are able to give us those messages? Is that why you feel drawn to them? Or I guess what's the reason for that?
For me, this is going to go back to kind of one of my experiences was in the very, very ancient past. Like I worked with the elements. Like it's been a long thing for me. I'm very elemental. You know, I think that's why I was a firefighter in this lifetime, is like, I just want to go out there and see the fire and experience that and be in the fire, right? And so I'm just really connected with the elements. And that's why I love the Huna work and the ancient Hawaiian stuff, because it's really focused on the elements of the, you know, the air, water, fire, earth, and the spirit element. And I think those elements, they do have consciousness. You know, they do speak to us. They have power. There's a lot of, you know, you can connect to super consciousness through the elements. That's the way I see it.
And speaking of that and the elements, why fires? Because the fires, I think a lot of times people will look back and say, well, this year it's like worse than last year and this, that, and the other. But there is a natural progression of Mother Nature, Earth, that kind of purges and brings in that. You could talk about the climate change and everything, and I don't want to be doomsday. But is there, like from your perspective, is there anything to be seen from it of like the timing and why, especially since you're on the front lines and you've been doing this for so long?
Yeah, you know, I would say it's definitely changed over the last 15 years from when I started. It is completely different. And the fire is, you know, luckily I can connect with the fire and understand like, okay, it's going to go up that drainage later today. We're not going up there. So I think these gifts have saved my life multiple times, but also it's becoming so unpredictable and so You know, we used to go like a mile out to the next ridge line and put in a line and burn it off. And we've done this a million times. And now we got to go like 5 miles out. And even that doesn't feel safe because these fires are all of a sudden, they're going to blow out 80,000 acres in the afternoon in heavy timber. And it's just, it boggles the mind. It doesn't even make sense. I mean, I was in California all summer last year and we'd show up on a brand new fire and it'd be like 80,000 acres, brand new. I mean, it just got reported. It's already that big in an hour and it just doesn't make sense. It's almost like flash firing whole mountainsides. And so it's a whole different level. And that's why you're seeing these towns burn over like they are, like Greenville just did. And unfortunately, you know, we can talk a little bit more about the wildland firefighters because I really want to.
Yes, please.
There's no support. There's no support for the wildland firefighter. There's a huge mental health crisis, a lot of PTSD, a lot of, you know, the main way of death is suicide, you know, so it's, and when you don't get paid anything, right? Like $15 an hour is, you start out at like 11 an hour. So it's, there's a lot of stuff going on with the wildland fire community. And I think a lot of the public sees, oh, the, you know, the land management agencies didn't do this or that. And honestly, the biggest reason why we're in this mess is a lack of fire. Like we've put out too much fire and now there's just so much vegetation that it's just the way it is. And now it's coupled with the climate change. It's bad news. Like it's going to be like this for a while. And, there's a lot of desertification going on as well. This is a big problem that we're seeing. You know, if you look at Boise in the Front Range, this is like the best example of a lot of those mountains in the Boise Front Range have burned off and they'll never come back. Unfortunately, it's all just going to go to sagebrush. You know, it's going to go from timber to sagebrush and grass for a long time. So there's a lot going on with the fire stuff, right?
Yeah. Well, you say a lot of important things. I mean, one kind of the reason for the start of it, I think too, the other aspect is just not knowing what others that are on, again, on the front lines and do this for a living and, or even volunteering and support do, what can people do to support those efforts? And what types of things would you recommend if people wanted to take action?
Yeah. The biggest thing is like, if you live in the woods, the mountains, is clearing your land off and like actually going by, there's a whole FireWise, you can Google that, I'm sure, you know, actually prepping your land, because when we get to a house, it's kind of like, we're not going to put our life in danger anymore. Like we've done enough of these houses where it's like, if you didn't do the work, we're just going to keep driving by and your house is going to be gone. There's no other way around it now. So there's that, but also I would love for people to reach out to the Grassroots Wildland Firefighters. It's a political organization that's helping. There's an infrastructure bill right now in the Congress that actually has a whole bunch of wildland firefighter benefits and stuff going into it. That organization is so helpful. They're really pushing hard for some mental health stuff, for better pay, for, you know, there's a lot of problems. There's a lot of deep stuff going on where like when you die on the line, you don't get, your family doesn't get your pension. Like there's a lot of stuff like that. And there's the Wildland Firefighter Foundation, right? Where say when we get injured, there's such a slow time on the paperwork that it's probably going to be 2 to 3 years before they can pay the hospital bills and all this stuff. And so when you get injured, wow, the firefighter actually goes through bankruptcy. And so this foundation actually pays for the whole family to fly out to them, to take the firefighter to the burn center, to all, do all this stuff. They do so much work for us. Like if you just donate to them, like you're good. Like just give them $100 and it's like life-saving for somebody.
Thank you for that. I think the biggest thing too is that a lot of people don't even hear these stories or know like that it's a reality and what to do. So just knowing that there are steps, whether it's personally or helping to make an impact and donate, are really good to know and hear from. So what else did you want to share that we didn't get to? I mean, your story is so amazing and you've done so much already. So I can't wait to see where you're going next. But between your book, your podcast and everything else, are you feeling led? Just, you know, did we not get to a certain topic that you wanted to dive into?
You know, gosh, we've covered so much. I think something that's come up for me the last year or so is this healing through writing and journaling. And, you know, I'm going to look at it from more of a writing a book perspective, but journaling, blogging, copywriting, anytime you're writing, you're kind of interacting with yourself in a different way. And what's so interesting is, especially writing books, you know, you kind of have to connect into this trance state or go connect with your highest self or whatever way you want to call it. You know, when you sit down and write for a couple hours at a time, And then you look back at that writing, there's so many times, so many instances where I can't believe I wrote that, or like I'm talking about myself in an indirect way and there's a chance for healing. There's so much there, the healing through writing. And of course, we can talk about all the science of, you know, actually lowering inflammation and raising the immune system and all this kind of stuff just by writing words on a piece of paper. I love working with my wildland firefighters, but I also love working with folks that are writing a book, because when we mix the breakthrough sessions, the energy healing with the writing, it's so powerful, because the whole process of writing just cements so much faster and so much deeper the healing process. You get to kind of dig up even more and more as you're writing. Does that make sense?
Oh, yeah. And I'm a writer by nature during the day with my full-time job. So usually by the evening, last thing I want to do is writing. But I will say that if you're that same, like you're listening, you're like, I don't have a book in me, or I don't necessarily know about journaling. One of the easier ways for you to kind of get that energy flowing is even just taking a pen or a pencil or a crayon, you know, it doesn't matter, and using paper and just kind of like swirling. It doesn't even have to draw a diagram or draw a picture. That gets the energy flowing, and you'll be amazed, like honestly, just looking at scribble, the way that could kind of jump off the page to you and speak to you in a way that it doesn't necessarily have to be written words.
Oh, I love that so much. And I think, you know, where this ties in a lot to the, like, I guess, yeah, we got to talk about Ho'oponopono. We got to go there, but.
Yeah. And igniting your inner gifts too. Cause we're like, wait, I got so fascinated in your story. I was like, okay.
So just to kind of piggyback off what you're saying there is even if we just, like, instead of writing out our problem, we can draw a picture of it, just like a swirl or whatever it looks like inside your mind, and then burn it. And this is a really powerful practice, is to write letters and burn it, or to write things out and then burn it, and really focus on that transformation through the fire and that smoke releasing the problem. So I love, there's just so much you can do with writing and things like that.
All right. So off the top of your head, top three things people can do. I think we've already said it, but just to recap for folks, igniting their inner gifts.
Yeah. The biggest thing is connecting with your breath, connecting with your highest self, and asking your heart, asking the universe, whichever way you want to connect there, just asking out loud and listening. I call it heart learning.
Because there's scientific studies out there that say that your heart actually controls more within your physical body and your physical being than even your mind. So that heart, mind, soul connection is even more so than anything, like, that really connects us.
Yeah. And it's so interesting when I work with the fire folks and leadership specifically, is that what I've learned is that the gut has so much more neurology than the heart, and the heart has more neurology than the brain. So there's actually three kind of brains going on in the body. Mm. And so the gut is kind of that, that gut instinct, like safety, and the heart is really that emotional sense. And the mind, of course, is super logical. And so when we, especially look at the heart math studies and everything that Dr. Joe Spins is doing, is when we connect these three minds and we really become, you know, I talk about this in one of my books, becoming like one nervous system instead of this separated kind of mind. Like, we got, everybody's separated the mind from the body. It's just not true. We're one nervous system. And that's how we can really hear the universe.
But I really like what you said too about the gut. I didn't think about it as it having almost its own. I mean, I know you said that we're all connected and doesn't matter not to separate it, but I never really thought to treat it as something to listen to more other than from an intuition standpoint.
Right. Yeah. It's so interesting, isn't it?
It is. All right. Well, how can people find you, get in touch with you? What's like your preferred method? And obviously I will include all of this in the website page and the show notes too.
Yeah. So check out the podcast. It's called the Shamanic Author Podcast. It's all about writer's journeys, healing, consciousness, all just awesome stuff there. There's also Mountain Mind Tricks is my main website. And you can also go through Breakthrough Writer's Block if you're working on a book. And other than that, you know, you can check me out on Instagram at Mountain Mind Tricks. And love to connect with you.
And for one more time, if people wanted to donate, where do they go?
Yeah, the Grassroots Wildland Firefighters. That's the political organization that's really pushed some stuff. And then Wildland Firefighter Foundation, please donate to them, like $20, whatever you can do. It makes a world of difference. So
awesome. Well, thank you. I really appreciate you being on the show. I'm very excited to see where else you're going to go with this. I feel like you mentioned another book, but I feel like you're at least going to have three. Three.
Yeah,
really good ones.
My fourth book's coming out here in a couple months. So
There you go. All right. Well, thank you again. Thank you for listening to A Psychic Story. Be sure to subscribe so you never miss an episode and join the conversation on Instagram, Facebook, or Twitter. All episodes are free on your favorite podcast player or at apsychicstory.com. Have a question? Is there a topic you'd like to hear more about? Or have a suggestion for a future guest? Send an email to contact@apsychicstory.com or leave a voicemail message at 1-800-880-1881. We'd love to hear from you, and you may even be featured on a future episode. If you're interested in booking a session with me, you can do that directly on the website. And if you want to hear even more content hosted by yours truly, check out my other show, Supernatural Matters. Reminder that you are automatically entered to win either a free 20-minute intuitive or energy healing session with me if you leave 5 stars along with a positive review. Currently, reviews can be left on Apple, Stitcher, Podchaser, or CastBox podcast players. Don't forget to email contact@apsychicstory.com when you do, because it allows me to get in touch with you if your name is pulled in the drawing. Your name stays in until you win.